This is Citizens Council Forum, America's number one public affairs program, where prominent Americans report to the nation on important issues. This week, the series of discussions is presented coast to coast by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, with the cooperation of public-spirited broadcasters who share our belief that Americans must be informed to remain free. Now, here is the producer of Citizens Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. This special program is coming to you from the state capitol in Montgomery, Alabama, where we are pleased to have as our guest Governor George C. Wallace of Alabama. Governor, it's always good to have you with us.
Good to be with you, Dick.
Governor Wallace, dating back to the last presidential election, when you ran a very surprising race, surprising to a lot of people outside of the South, that is, people who did not know you, in some of the northern and border states, you have been regarded generally as a spokesman for the South politically. I'm wondering what you've been hearing from people outside of the South in recent weeks and months. What is the public attitude now? Is it changing?
Well, of course, the first part of your statement, we have many people who speak, I'm sure, for the people of the South. I've tried to speak for the rights of the states and for constitutional government. I have certainly not spoken against any of our citizens because of color. It just seems that those people who are opposed to the rights of the states and who want centralization of governmental control in this country accuse folks like myself of being racist or bigots or being hate mongers. Nothing can be further from the truth. My administration in Montgomery, Alabama, has tried to care for the needs of all the people of our state, regardless of who they happen to be, insofar as government is supposed to care for the needs of the people. But I can assure you that we are beginning to receive a tremendous amount of mail, and have received this mail for many weeks now, saying they now understand what we've been talking about. We've been talking about law and order. We've been talking about the right of local people to determine those matters that have been historically their right to determine. And I can assure you that there's a general change in the public attitude toward Alabama and toward the movement called the States' Rights Movement.
Possibly the one thing that has focused attention on the situation more than anything else has been the recent wave of riots, of death, injury, destruction, looting, burning, that's gone on all across the country in almost every big city from coast to coast. And I'm sure that you've had a lot of comments from people outside of the South on this subject.
Yes, of course we have, and it's been a very tragic situation that has existed in the various large cities of our nation, and I sincerely hope that the time is soon at hand when that will cease. This gets back to the point of enforcement of the law and order. We have seen the courts of our land and politicians in our land weaken law enforcement for political reasons. And as a result, race relations have deteriorated. And when the time gets back that we try criminals on Monday in court instead of policemen, then we're going to have better race relations and we're going to have more peace and more security and less riots. If those who are charged with enforcing the law could just enforce the law, without interference from this political-minded Supreme Court and political-minded folks in public office and the various cities and states in our country, we would have better relations and we wouldn't have these riots. But it's hard to convict a criminal now. If you are knocked in the head on the street at night by a thug, he's out of jail before you out of the hospital, and they try the policeman on Monday for having arrested him. And that situation has brought about the condition that we find in our country today, insecurity in the streets, and a man doesn't know when he gets up in the morning whether his business has been burned down or not. And in my judgment, the overwhelming majority of the people of both races are against this kind of conduct by relatively few people at this time.
It seems that the most destructive of these riots and outbreaks have taken place in cities and in states where for many years they followed a public policy of going out of their way almost to grant special privileges to members of minority groups. Does this seem to prove a point to you?
Well, I would say that the overwhelming majority of those who belong to a minority group feel that this hasn't been to their interest, because I think the overwhelming majority of people of both races are law-abiding and want to be law-abiding. And when you go out of the way to try to accommodate a thug, a mobster, well, of course, you do an injustice to people of both races. And we find that people in high places in our country have violated the Constitution of our country. We find, for instance, the troops brought into this state back at Tuscaloosa when not a single item of violence was involved, contrary to the Article 4 of our Constitution. And so it seems to me that the precedent for lawlessness has been set by those in high places, such as the Attorney General of our nation and others, who have flagrantly disregarded the Constitution of our country.
And when things were at their worst during this past summer, a very high official, the Vice President of the United States, as a matter of fact, commented at a meeting that under a similar set of conditions, he might be inclined to lead a pretty good riot himself.
Well, he, of course, later said that he tried to correct that, and I sincerely hope that in his heart and mind, he really meant what he said on the second statement, because I can hardly comprehend a person in a high position as Vice President condoning something that leads to violence and death and destruction. This is no way to solve problems. This compounds problems. This hurts the very people that the so-called leaders in this civil rights movement say they're trying to help. We must help all of our people by better educational opportunities and by nonviolence. That is, we've got to have law enforcement. That helps them all. In our state, we have less non-white unemployment than you find in most states of our union. And that's true with other southern states. We have opportunities here, and we're going to provide more educational opportunities for all children. We find that any child in this state who finishes high school or college has no trouble getting employment regardless of his race.
Governor, it's often been said that in many cases the people, the man on the street as it were, is way ahead of his political leaders. Do you think that that is the situation now, where the public at large is fed up with a lot that's been going on, but the politicians, by and large, haven't caught hold of the idea yet?
I think in many instances the people are ahead of the politicians, and if the politicians don't catch up, why are they going to be left behind? And I think that, as I will repeat again, that the people in the large cities of our country of both races want to see the law enforced and want to see violence stopped.
They don't want the type of thing, though, that's going on in the form of these open housing marches and the proposed laws and so forth?
Well, those marches are designed to create trouble and not to solve any problem. Now, I'm sure there are many conscientious people who get involved in some of these marches. I'm not saying that everybody involved in a march is a communist or saying that everyone is against this nation, but I say that those who have prepared and executed and drawn the plans for much of this demonstrating has done so with a prime purpose in mind of creating confusion and chaos and destroying good relationships between the races. And they are not interested in black or white.
Governor Wallace, in a recent address, you were quoted as having said that if neither of the two national political parties nominated a satisfactory candidate for president in the 1968 elections, that you might get in the race yourself.
I am interested, of course, but I make no commitment about whether I will or I won't. But I will say that the National Democratic Party, under the leadership of President Johnson, under the leadership of Vice President Humphrey and of the Kennedys, are ultra-liberal. You go back over to the National Republican Party, you find Richard Milhouse Nixon, who led the troops into Arkansas and for the first time since Reconstruction put the bayonet in the backs of the people of that state and the same as putting the bayonet in the backs of all of us, a man who helped pass the first civil rights bill in 57, a man who said he supports Lyndon Johnson's 64 and 65 civil rights bill. You have him of the National Republicans, you have the Socialist Republican Nelson Rockefeller, and George Romney of Michigan, further to the left on Vietnam than Robert Kennedy, and then you have Jacob Javits. You can put them all together, and there's not a dime's worth of difference between any of them. So if both national parties come with these type candidates in the next election, then there'll be many millions of people who will have no place to go, no one to vote for. And we might just well give them that chance and opportunity, although, as I said again, I say again, I make no commitment on that. We'll just have to see what happens between now and 1968.
But you do believe that the people deserve the opportunity to make a real meaningful choice at the polls?
I think they do, and with those in both parties I mentioned a moment ago, they would have no choice other than the choice between Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Well, let me ask you this. It might be classified as an iffy question, Governor Wallace, but if you do get into the race, will you articulate the issues in the same manner that you are now doing? Will it be a clear-cut proposition?
Yes, it will be a clear-cut proposition, the matter of states' rights and local government. I don't want to tell the people of Ohio how to run their school system. I don't care what kind of school system they have in Ohio or what kind they have in Pennsylvania. But I think it should be up to the people of Ohio and of Pennsylvania and of Mississippi and of Georgia and of California. If they want to have a school system opposite the type school system we have in Mississippi or Alabama, that's their prerogative. But we would let the school system be left into the hands of local people. We would not encroach upon the private enterprise system and would not destroy the property ownership system. We believe that a man who owns a house ought to be able to sell it to whom he pleases. He ought to be able to sell it to a black or white, or a Chinese American or Japanese American. We feel that government should not be involved in every phase and aspect of one's life. Because if you destroy the property ownership system in our country and the free enterprise system, then you're going to adversely affect the well-being of every citizen, regardless of their color.
Governor Wallace, I know that if you undertake such a campaign, you will have the support of a great many people in the South, many of whom are already encouraging you to get into the race. What does the situation look like from other areas? Have you had some encouraging signs from other places recently?
Well, I noticed in the Wall Street Journal here the other day, they said that the National Democrats were worried about the possibility of our candidacy because many working people in other regions of our country supported me when I went, would support me and did support me in Wisconsin, Indiana, and Maryland. The other day, a Washington story by Jack Bell said the National Republicans are concerned because they're afraid we'll take votes away from them. Well, I'm very elated that both national parties are concerned. If they are concerned enough with what we might do with the movement that has been started in Alabama, then one of them should give us a choice. If they don't give us a choice, we'll make them more concerned in 1968, and they're going to find that there are just as many people in Pennsylvania, New York, and California who are concerned about these trends and these causes espoused by both national party leaders as they are in Alabama and Mississippi and Georgia in this great region of the country.
Governor Wallace, thank you very much for being with us. I'd like to have you again real soon. Our guest on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum has been Governor George C. Wallace of Alabama. This special program has come to you from the state capitol in Montgomery, Alabama. Join us again next week at the same time when we'll be back with another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
Citizens Council Forum is dedicated to the preservation of our American tradition of freedom. If you agree that individual liberty and constitutional government must be preserved, if you want to do something positive and worthwhile to help protect our freedom, then we want to hear from you. Just write to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send you, without obligation, literature showing how you can help. Address your card or letter to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. America's number one public affairs series is presented coast to coast each week by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation. Join us next week for another informative discussion and remind your friends to tune in. It's time to take a stand. By working together, we can and will safeguard our freedom.